Open your Bibles with me, please, to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. And we'll come down to verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now there's the question. So repeat that. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That was his question. All right. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing you lack." One thing. That's pretty good. I never have come to him and he said, "Kenneth, there's only one thing you lack." I've heard him say, "Now, Kenneth, you need to do this and you need to do this. You need to do this." One thing. One thing. "Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." Now, let's look at this a minute. One thing you lack. One thing. Go your way. Are you going to do this now? Sell whatsoever you have and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. Now, poor people wouldn't have been astonished at that. They said, "Well, you know, that's where them rich cats are. I mean, you know, they need to just dump everything like we have and go along and be poor with Jesus." That's what the general Christian public thinks. That couldn't be. That is so far from the truth. Now watch this. They were, and he said, "How hard it is," now listen, "for them that trust in it." So now we see this young man's problem. Trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man who trusts in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Now then the conversation started. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed you. In other words, he said, we did that and followed you. Jesus answered him and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man or nobody that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. So what he said here, for my sake and for what I preach, that have invested in this ministry, taken everything they had and invested in this ministry. But he shall receive 100-fold now. Now, it's coming. Now, in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. He answered the man. Amen. Amen. So that's all the man asked. Now then, praise God. I want you to turn with me over into the book of Acts and look in the 4th chapter, verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many were possessors of lands or houses, sold them, brought the pieces of things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That was the young man. That's him. Now, history bears it out, but now think about this now. All of those apostles were there when that man came up there. They saw it all. They knew him by sight. And they got over there with him, and they said, now I'm going to tell you something. You blew it. You could have been one of us. But we're changing your name. You're now Barnabas. Well, he started selling land. Yeah, he's, boy, man, I mean, I really fouled this up before. But there he is. He missed an opportunity to be an apostle of the Lamb, because he was a good replacement for Judas. And I seem to have that in my spirit, that Jesus is looking at him, because Jesus already knew Judas. He knew who he was. The scripture says he knew him when he called him. And he's looking at this young man, and he's, well, yeah, there's my replacement right there. Come on, boy, come on. But no, he backed away. But then, now he's a Levite. He's of the priesthood. So he's highly educated in the things of the Word. And the Levites were very wealthy. And God planned it that way. So, now follow his track. He's the one. He's the one that went after Saul of Tarsus. And over there in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, let's turn there, please. There's something very, very important here. And people skim over it. Well, I'm not in the habit of doing that. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, I mean, he's the number one name now. Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger. They pointed out the fact that he's black. This is very important here. The Bible makes a point of this. And Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. He's still Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. Now come down to verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes. Glory to God. Does these things excite you?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, do your homework. Yes. And pray and seek the Lord and say, "Lord, open my eyes here. Let me see what's going on here." It's what I call going widescreen. So go back through the scriptures, and everywhere you see Capernaum, write home out beside it. That's where Jesus lived. Well, one night he had been going, and they'd been, you know, and all that, and they saw him walking on the water. Well, it scared everybody but Peter. He said, "That's you, Lord, bid me come." Well, what's the Lord going to say? It's not me. So he said, "Come on." Well, anyway, Jesus got in the boat, and immediately it was in Capernaum. Well, I'd read that over and over and over again. And I stopped there one night and said, "Lord, let me look at that. What'd you do there? What did you do there?" And I started praying in the Spirit, and on the inside of me, he said, "Kenneth, my men were tired." He said, "Now, you're a traveling preacher. You know what it's like to get home and sleep in your own bed." And he said, "Enough of this rowing. Let's get back." Amen. Amen. Well, he hadn't changed. Now, let's go back over there now where we were in Mark 10. Because I want us to look at that, put our eyes on it one more time. "But he shall receive a hundredfold." Read it out loud with me. "But I shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Well, the persecution is coming because he already warned us of that. Satan comes immediately to try to steal it, but he's been defeated. He can't get it done if you won't let him. Amen. And Jesus just said, "You have a hundredfold coming. You better claim it." somebody got in my face and said, you're that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it bunch. I said, yes, bless God, we are. Really? Yeah. We named it, claimed it, grabbed it, and blabbed it, and we've got it. Hallelujah. And it's still coming in, and it's still being blessed, and we're still moving on with God. I'll tell you, the devil is a nightmare. But I'll tell you, the worst thing he can think of is Christian people with money enough to do what God tells them to do, especially preachers. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Now, they called me one day out there at the airport. And they said, there's a guy out here that's landed out here, and we don't know him. But he's having a little problem with his airplane. Maybe you need to come down. Well, he's flying a single engine airplane. Got down there. And he said, Brother Copeland, he said, this engine is really needs overhauling. And it's trouble, but he said, I'm in the mission field. This thing is giving me trouble. And he said, I just landed here. But he said, I didn't know this was your place. So we sat down and the mechanic came out there and looked at what he had. We went back inside and we got acquainted and got his name and address and everything, praise God. So the ministry just overhauled that engine for him. Don't give him new spark plugs. Overhaul his engine. Now, here's one of the main things. Name the seed. Name it. Amen. Write it down. Write these things down. If you're going on a different food plan, under God's direction, write it down. And the devil starts coming at you, and take the scriptures and write in there and keep it in your notebook or keep it in your Bible. And the devil starts after you, and you say, devil, it is written, and I wrote this down at such and such date, and here's the scripture I'm standing on. And I said right here, this is what I eat, and I don't eat anything else. Now get behind me, Satan. It is written. I said it's written. Well, there's nothing in the book says you can't write it. You take what is written. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Everything he says said is written down in heaven's archives. And when there is a new heaven and a new earth, this law book will still be there. Amen. It's still here. Yeah. And any angel in the future that has any idea of doing, there'll be a hook put in his jaw. Why? Because the law has been fulfilled. The covenants have been fulfilled. The blood has been spilled. There will never be any more glorified ones. We're it. I mean, when that trumpet blows, that's it. Glory to God.
Living under the pressure and baggage of debt, lack, and barely getting by is not what your Father in heaven wants for you. God delights in your prosperity. As the creator of the heavens and the earth, God has what you need and wants you to access those riches. In the Laws of Prosperity series, Kenneth Copeland outlines the laws governing prosperity from the authority of God's Word. He teaches you how to establish your heart in the new covenant and explains how to make deposits and withdrawals from your heavenly account. He shares personal experiences of how he took action on the principles he found in the Word of God and saw his life transform. God wants you to have the ability to use His power to meet every need, spirit, soul, and body, in your life and the lives of your spouse, children, employer, co-workers, and everyone else in your sphere of influence. It's God's will for you to live an abundant, overflowing life here and now. God delights in your prosperity. Request your free copy of the Laws of Prosperity series by Kenneth Copeland on MP3 disc or as a digital download. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. Free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
My name is Connor Rhodes, and this is my beautiful wife, Stacy Rhodes. And we are from California, and we currently live in The Colony, Texas.
So my mom has been Word of Faith my whole life and followed Brother Copeland. And I remember watching it as I was growing up. Went away from that in high school and college. But when in my late 20s, I started attending church again and would watch Brother Copeland on what was at the time BVOV. When we moved to Texas about 5 years ago, we really started watching it, saw it become Victory Channel, and just were constantly being poured into. In 2018, my husband and I, we both truly made Jesus the Lord of our lives and went all in. And from that point on, it's just been on in our house as a constant source of faith and encouragement, and has literally changed my family and I's lives.
June 7, 2018, I had a heart attack where I died for 18 minutes. While I was dead, I was walking on a wall, and I looked to my right side, and there was the most beautiful garden with colors, trees, things that aren't in this world, and it was just completely beautiful. And I felt like these colors were coming into my chest, and I just felt an overwhelming sense of peace. I looked to my left side, and I could see dark thorny bushes as far as the eye could see, with smoke coming out of them. And I started to panic, and as I panic, I slipped and fell. As I'm falling into these bushes, I feel someone's hand grab my shoulder and stick me back on the wall. I turn around to see who it is, and I snap to in the hospital. I gave my life to the Lord in the hospital. I got baptized in Lake Louisville, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit a week later. I went to the doctor, and freshly filled with the Holy Spirit, the doctor told me, "Mr. Rhodes, I have bad news for you. You have the heart of a 60-year-old from all the drugs you've used. Your heart is very large and thin." And I looked that man in the eye, and I said, "I don't believe that. The Word of God says that by His stripes I am healed, and I am healed." He said, "Oh, okay, sir, but come back in 9 months and we'll talk again." I believe the Word of God. I was given a word, Ezekiel 36:25, that says He's going to take out your old, stony, stubborn heart and put in His tender, responsive spirit. I believe that. I went back to the doctor 9 months later. They had the thing on me, looking at my heart, and the doctor looks at the monitor and he looks at me. He looks at the monitor and he looks at me, and he gets angry. And I go, "What's going on? What's the matter?" He goes, "What did you do?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "It's as if nothing has happened to your heart." And I told him, "Sir, I told you Jesus Christ, what He did for me, and He still does miracles." And he got really upset and told me to leave, and I haven't been back since.
About 5-6 months after Connor had this amazing experience and I see my husband's life just totally transform, I really went all in for Jesus. It was no longer time to be in the world. It was time to go all in. And I just encourage anyone out there, you know, there's no, the world has nothing for you. And a life lived for Jesus is the best. And you may be living both in the world and with Jesus, but when you go all in for Christ, it is the most fulfilling thing. And so I surrendered my life and got filled with the Holy Spirit too. And we've just been transformed and truly set on fire for God. And He's changed our lives. And we are just so thankful for the message of faith being preached. And if you keep getting that Word of God poured into you, it will truly transform your life, which it has done to our family.
Hello, I'm Dwayne Munoz, Associate Dean at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. If you've never heard that God loves you, then I want to tell you He does. He is a loving God and He has a good plan for your life. He loves you and cares about you, and He wants the very best for you. You may feel drawn to God's love with a desire to get to know Him more. Some of you may be feeling this for a while, and all it takes is for you to ask Jesus into your heart and receive Him as your Lord. Would you pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You love me. I thank You that You sent Your only Son to take my place and die on that cross and take my punishment. I receive Your gift of eternal life, and I give my life to You. Help me to live for You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues so that I may be a witness for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then you are born again. And you are a part of God's family right now. Today is the beginning of your new life in Jesus. The more you get to know Him, the more you will see He loves you. To help you take the next steps to keep growing spiritually, KCM has some free resources to send you, and it's called the Salvation Package, and it includes a book called He Did It All for You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Read through this book and learn what God has provided for you and how you can access His blessing every day. There's also some information that will guide you in reading your Bible. Learn how to grow in faith as you spend time in the Word of God. Request your Salvation Package today. It's free on kcm.org. Another great way to spend time in God's Word is to attend a KCM event. Join Brother Copeland New Year's Eve, December 31st, for our New Year's Eve celebration being held at Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Come and enjoy a time of praise and worship and the Word of God. Brother Copeland will be preaching a faith-building message that will prepare us for the new year. Let's step into 2023 in faith together. For all the information, go to kcm.org. We'll see you again tomorrow. Brother Copeland will be sharing how words are spiritual containers. This is Dwayne Munoz reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you called the Salvation Package. Learn who you are in Jesus and what belongs to you as a child of God. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk and request your free Salvation Package.
In 2023, join Kenneth Copeland at these free KCM events to build your faith and live in victory. March 23 through 25, come to the Sacramento Victory Campaign in North Highlands, California. April 13 through 15, join us at the Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri. June 22 through 24, make plans to be at the Chattanooga Victory Campaign in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Go to kcm.org/events for more information.